Welcome to the very first episode of the Ministry Without Hating It podcast, brought to you in partnership with Odyssey Haven Coaching and Counseling. My name is Chad Garrison, and I have had the privilege of serving in various roles of the ministry over the last 20 years. I currently get to serve as the lead pastor with my wife, Lindsay, at Springs of Life in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm joined today by my brother in arms and my fellow show producer, Brenton Hill.
Yeah. So hello, everybody. I am Brenton Hill, and I am the lead pastor over at Illuminate Muncie Foursquare Church in Muncie, Indiana. Wow, that's a mouthful. So what are we doing here today, Chad?
Well, Brenton, that's a great question. So I'm passionate about leaders. I know that you are as well, specifically leaders in ministry. And I'm also trained and certified as a leadership coach. And a couple of years ago, when I say right before the pandemic, I literally mean right before the pandemic, I had finished a tough coaching video call with another pastor. And I sat there for a moment and I was like, man, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? And by the way, this is pre-COVID, you know, so it was a whole new level of ministry without hating it that maybe was introduced into our lives, right, as ministers. And so it kind of became this running joke, really, within a lot of my friends and pastor circles. Is it possible to actually do ministry without hating it? And as I kept listening to the many different and sometimes, let's just say, colorful answers that I would get, I just got this idea: the world needs more podcasts, yes, right? Yes. I mean, there's not enough of them out there. Exactly. So let's do one where we ask leaders that very, very question. Is it possible to do ministry without hating it? I have a theory that it just might be possible. And the vision for this podcast is to create a resource of hopefully encouragement and best practices for leaders of ministry of all kinds. And I'm really hoping that through real conversation and maybe even some commiseration, right, that other ministry leaders will listen and go, hey, I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. This is possibly doable, right? I mean, what do you think, Brenton?
Well, we know that as we share stories with one another, we glean experience and can learn from each other. And so I hope that this would be a time where we can come side by side with one another, hold each other up, glean information from each other, and hopefully just be better at what we do. And know that there's other people going through some of the same things, and we can support each other through the process, ultimately, so we can keep a soft heart towards God and what He's doing in and through our lives.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So we want to invite you, the listener, ministry leader in whatever ministry and whatever role that you have, to really join us in our pursuit to answer the question, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? Through hearing the stories of ministry leaders who have been where you're at and pick up the wisdom that they've earned in the trenches of their own ministry journeys. This being our very first episode, we wanted to kind of set the table for what's to come. But we're also doing something just a little bit different. In fact, when I first started dreaming about this podcast, I started an Evernote full of names that I wanted to have on to be able to be these guests and to just ask these questions. And believe it or not, Brenton was actually at the top of my list. And what's funny enough, as we started talking about this almost 2 years ago, I quickly realized that I actually didn't want him just on the show. I wanted him to actually help me do this thing. And so I thought, hey, for our first episode, why don't we do both, right? So today we get to kick this podcast off by interviewing him. For me, Brenton has been just a great friend and really a great leader that I have leaned on for my own support more times than I can actually count. Probably you too, Brenton, right? Probably more. That's fine. We don't have to fully disclose everything, yeah, right? But one of the things I've always admired about him is the joy that he brings to his ministry and really to those that he serves. And so what better topic than to kick off a podcast called Ministry Without Hating It than talking about joy, right?
Right.
So let me give just a little quick bio of my friend Brenton before we start the interview. But Brenton has served in ministry leadership for over 15 years. He's been a youth pastor, a worship leader. He's been camp directors for the Foursquare movement, and a lead pastor are some of the various roles in which he has served. Currently, he and his wife, Nicole, lead Illuminate Muncie Foursquare in Muncie, Indiana, all while navigating life with three wonderful children, a cat, and soon-to-be goats, and a dog, because they're now homesteaders as well. Just to add that to their resume, right?
Can I add, we just put ducks in the mix yesterday.
Oh, ducks. Oh. Joy. It's all about joy, right?
Yep.
Right. Very good. Well, I hope you enjoy my conversation with my friend and pastor, Brenton Hill. Well, Brenton, I'd say welcome, but you're already here.
Yes, I am.
So welcome anyway to the Ministry Without Hitting It podcast. One of the things I want to do really to set the tone for these interviews is I really find it interesting when you ask ministry leaders for a definition of the word ministry, how variety, you know, it's just so much variety in the answer, and it's so much fun. And so let's start that for you. What does the word ministry mean to you?
Yeah, that's a bombshell you're asking. I mean, when you talk about ministry, I don't think you can put one specific, I mean, maybe you can boil it down to one sentence, but I think it's a life given over to God to do his will and his purpose. And that's in whatever you're doing, whether it's working in the secular world or working in a paid vocation of ministry. I think ministry to me just means being available to God at all times. Do we do that well all the time? No. But that's the goal, I think. And that's, to me, that's what's my motivation when I hear ministry is, are you available?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So availability then. So how has that really shaped your journey, in ministry?
Yeah. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes I do it really well and other times not so much. I think that along the line, as I've grown in relationship with the Lord, as I've gotten to know him and really learned how to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I think that's a key, being led and not trying to lead, but being led, then I do better when I'm being led than when I'm leading. Even though by title, I pastor a church, by title, I was a youth pastor before this, by title, I had some things in which it required me to lead. When doing it out of my own strength, I did not do it well. And I'm still learning along the way. But yielding to the Holy Spirit is definitely one of the things that has driven me and I would say that success in ministry is required to be led by the Holy Spirit.
So I want to just linger here for just a second, if you don't mind. You said a word that can be a buzz, maybe kill for some people in ministry, and that's the word success. What does that mean to you, especially when you're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Being led of the Holy Spirit, or success, is, I think, dependent on being led by the Holy Spirit. It's not necessarily what the world would define as success. It's not about having the biggest church. It's not about, being the most dynamic speaker. I think success is when you are doing what God called you to do in the capacity that he's called you to do it. That's success. And, you know, to some he gave, to some, the Lord gave more to some than others, according to their talents and abilities. And so when you're faithful with that, your capacity expands. And I think that's a thing that the Lord really has to define, and we have to come to terms with. And there's a struggle in that because, you know, we look at, I can look at numbers. I can look at mm-hmm. tithe receipts coming in. I can look mm-hmm. at how many disciples did I make this year? I can look at, you know, we know where we fail. Or where we think we fail and God is just using it to grow us. I think the Lord really has to define that, and we have to be at a place where we're okay with what he says is okay, and not move faster than he's moving, and you know, keep in rhythm with the Lord. You know, he has everything measured already, and so if we can just continue, I was saying this earlier to maybe it was you, that if we would just go into situations and say, Lord, what are you doing here, and mm-hmm. how can I be a part of that? Rather than like, I have this idea and this is how it's going to go. And if it goes that way, great, it was a success. And if it doesn't go that way, then man, maybe I get my feathers all ruffled and go, I mean, however you deal with stress, sure. Go pout or whatever. But, you know, if we can just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? And that's hard. I get it. Like, but asking him and letting him lead us and truly lead us.
That's good. It actually reminds me of Peter Scazzaro. He's got like four things when it comes to making decisions and making plans and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he says, we define success as radically doing God's will.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't always look like what we think it should look like, you know, like you get the laundry list of things that pastors go through, but any ministry, you know, leader can look and go, my platform is not, you know, X, Y, Z. And, you know, all of a sudden we think we're failing and maybe we're overlooking the fact that God is saying, no, what you're doing is right, and it's successful, and allowing him to define that. That's huge. That's huge. That's good.
Yeah, and any time that, we can look at failures and say, well, that was a major failure, but if we grew from it, was it a mm-hmm. failure? Yeah, maybe the outcome that we wanted was a failure, but in it, God produced in us some type of character or integrity or whatever character quality that we're going to need to be able to be better leaders and follow him, you know, all of that. Was it a failure if something was produced in us that was good?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
let me ask you this. What helps you in that space when you're talking about, okay, so I need to take a step back and ask the Lord, well, what is it that you're doing here? Or what is it that I should be doing in this? Mm-hmm. What helps you keep that at the forefront of whatever it is that you're doing?
Yeah. A lot of prayer.
Okay.
You know, we want to control situations. I would say that, like, there are people who are naturally leaders. They take control of a situation. They can walk in and make snap decisions. They can, you know, make some judgments and rightfully so pretty easily just by observing. And there's some people that are better than that than others. You know, if God's given you that talent and ability, just remembering that, like, you are not the leader, although you're called to lead. God's the leader of it. It's his church. It's his, you know, we're making disciples for him, not for ourselves. And so, I don't know, just like looking at stress situations, how do you do it? Try and stay as in rhythm with the Lord as possible. Sometimes that's just longer walks in the morning.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, when you're getting, you know, if you're getting stressed, you know, uh-huh. if you're starting to take control, you can feel it. I mean, at least I can feel it in my body. I can feel tension. I can feel when, somebody walks into the room and they're not happy with something and they're, you know, giving you the evil eye, you can feel the tension there. And having the, like, we all have this desire to, well, maybe not everybody, but I'll speak for myself. Okay. I have this desire to make or help people be at ease with themselves and with everyone else in the room. And so there's, it's uncomfortable. And so sometimes I will step out of what the Lord's actually calling me to do and try and fix something that the Lord's not asking me to fix, or control something that I'm not supposed to. So how do I stay out of that? I'm learning self-control. I'm learning those things, but it's being close to the Holy Spirit, I think, is really it. And in communication with Him and in communion with Him and slowing down and just making relationship with the Holy Spirit an important part of your life.
Yeah.
Not just something, or, you know, I spent 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes praying today, or I read my Bible, but really integrating all of that into relationship. It's not the doing of a task that brings you closer to God, but actually being close to God. And that's, you know, scripture promises that as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so that, you know, slowing down to remember, I think, is probably a big key in that.
Yeah. I loved what you said about you can tell when you're not in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. Because I think any person listening to this, they know exactly what that feels like. And it's different for every one of us. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly, I mean, know how it is for me. I can tell something is not right. Mm-hmm. Either I'm getting ahead, you know, like you were talking about, or I'm the Holy Spirit's dragging me behind.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so key to have that self-awareness of that, that says, you know, I need to be in rhythm and step with this. And here's something too. I mean, you tell me if this resonates with you. I have found, especially even in, I would say even recently, that sometimes the things that I did in the past, perhaps to stay in rhythm, are not what, if we're talking about, you know, being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is even saying and doing, are not what I'm supposed to do. So, like, for example, you know, I've hit a recent patch where going through my Bible reading plan, I'm in a yearly reading plan in the Bible app, and it is not doing it for me. It's not that it's bad. It's just I'm not experiencing that abiding in rhythm with the Holy Spirit in that. And so has recently called me to change it up and watch out. Not read just scripture, but actually do that in step with some of the things that, you know, the dark nights of the soul writings that others, you know, who've gone before me are walking through. And so right now I'm doing a day by day devotional, that is more focused on just the solitude and listening, practicing listening to Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean the scripture is gone from my life, because it's not. Please don't revoke my pastoral license. But it's a different rhythm right now, you know. And I will tell you, especially after, I mean, we were talking before we got on, I had a hard week last week, and my walks were a lot longer in the morning because I needed, you know, and it was actually not listening to a book or a podcast or whatever, but it was just quiet and God help.
Yeah.
Right.
I need to hear you. Yeah. I need to hear the Lord. Well, who's the pastor that said that he would not leave his office until he had a plan for the day from the Lord? He would go and pray. And sometimes it was hours. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, I mean, that sounds like a great idea. And theoretically, like, I'm like, I would love this. Yeah, I won't leave my office. And then I get back to the office and I'm like, yeah, life just hit like a ton of bricks. That's right. And I don't have that freedom to just sit in silent prayer during office hours.
And, there's stuff to be done.
Yeah, there's work. You know, and it's legitimate and it needs to be done. And yet, as leaders and pastors, we have to find the time and the space to hear from the Holy Spirit. And that Paul talks about it, just, you know, in praying in the Spirit, he says, I do it more than any of you. I imagine that he's just walking around communing with God, having conversation back and forth with the Lord. And, I mean, that's a lot of how I would say that I do my, I look at a situation and I go, all right, Lord, let's go. Do I do it well all the time? Sometimes no. Actually, probably more often than not, I get somewhere out, and it's, you know, it's just learning and walking with the Holy Spirit. And the longer you do it, the more sensitive you are to who he is and what he's calling you to do. And you can be more confident in what he's calling you to do as you're walking it, because you know his voice, and he's faithful, and he guides you through everything, even the rough patches. And when you're messing it up royally, right and left, he's still there. And so I don't know. It's just knowing that you have a father that loves you and he's there all the time is comforting and helpful in knowing that you can continually go to him even when you don't want to.
isn't that the key right there? Mm-hmm. Even when you don't want to. That's good. So let me kind of maybe keeping in line with this, because we talked a little bit about this. Obviously, the podcast is called Ministry Without Hating It, right? So what are some of the things that you know, drive you crazy, you can't stand, or maybe you'd even go as far as to say, I hate this about ministry. What are those things?
There's the longer we do it, the more that hit the list, for sure. you know, pointless meetings, hate those. I think what I hate the most is the idea of doing church without meeting Jesus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's something that's been resonating with me recently, is that I don't want to do church without having an encounter with the living God. And so, like, I can have an encounter every week in the midst of no one else having that same encounter because I know him. And so I hate doing it with when you see someone going through the motions, or even in my own life, if I'm just going through the motions, I might even hate that about myself when I'm just going through the motions, because it's not real. It's not an encounter. It's just doing this to like I'm reading to appease whatever thing in my that I was told I had to do growing up, or I want to meet Jesus. And know him. And so I hate like the maybe, and I won't call out stereotypes because depending on where you live, it's different, but,
sure.
Just like the Christianese that gets used at church, and it's just a facade for holiness or righteousness, instead of being authentic and true with people. It's the loaded question. How are you doing? And, you know, everyone puts on the smile. Oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. And fine is the new normal. And like,
we actually called fine this last weekend from the pulpit, the new 4-letter word.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So,
yeah, because like, how are you doing is, I mean, I know it's something that we do in America. It's just kind of the informal greeting. How are you doing? And we expect someone to, oh, good. And that's it. But if we told people how we're really doing, would we actually get past some of the shell of the hardness of life and be able to carry each other's burdens better? I know that, you know, people don't know what to do with any other thing that's not fine. I mean, some do, but like if you say, you know, I'm having a hard time, or I'm going through this, and they're like, oh, that's nice, I'll see you next week. And that doesn't help anybody. So then we develop a nice shell and just say, oh, I'm fine. And you know.
So what's your most effective approach? Because I know this is a very individualized thing. I understand that, and I would say the root is really a discipleship thing with people, and obviously that's going to be harder on a broader scale. So I'm not asking you to, when I ask this question, Brenton, tell us all how to fix it.
Yeah. Right?
what's been your most effective approach when you come up against that?
There are some people. So if we're talking in a church context, that's my world that I live in for a lot of my hours. So in a church context, there are some people that you know are safe, that you've built relationship with, that are deeper than just seeing them on a Sunday morning. If church, going to church, having a service, if the only time you see someone is on a Sunday morning and you have a number of other things that you're doing, they're not necessarily a safe person for you to walk around with. So we might teach through stuff like that, but, for me to feel comfortable sharing something with somebody else, we've built relationship out of a Sunday morning, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We go out for coffee, we do a video call like this, or, you know, but how do we make it safe for others to share? I mean, I think that's probably as a leader, I've learned who's safe for me to start talking through some of that. And there's some things like, as a leader, you're just not going to share it with the congregation because they can't handle it. And you know that. So how do we make it safe for others? Like you said, I think it's a discipleship thing. We start teaching about, you know, being somebody that can handle that. And that takes emotional health and stability and the willingness to go and deal with what, you know, their own pains and traumas in their own life. So things that trigger them are we understand our triggers, and we don't get offended because somebody shared something with us that's triggering.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It sounds like a cultural thing that you have to instill. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if anything's going to become culture, obviously it takes time, but it also takes coming from the leader, you know, that being something that's really integrated into the very core of who you are. It's that, like you said, it doesn't mean that you always have it together, but it's a stability and even being able to lead out of some vulnerability in some regards as well, which is not easy. So
no.
Question then in that, as you have encountered or even faced this challenge, what is it that you've learned about you and maybe even your leadership?
Yeah, I've learned that there's a lot of work left to be done.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It's ministry. I've been called by the Lord, and so I try and do that faithfully day in and day out. I've learned about me that I have triggers that I didn't know I had. I've learned unhealthy things. I think I have learned more of the unhealthy things in my life than the things that I've had in everything together. But out of it, I think I've developed some really good friendships with people. Out of that, I've learned to be more open with people as we've spent time together and kind of started to walk through as I've walked through my own issues, going, okay, I need to share this with somebody else, a peer or somebody that can help, you know, just bounce stuff off of. And Chad, you've been one of those in the process. You've helped me grow, and so even talks like this, I'm learning about myself some things that I'm verbalizing them. Things I've known, but I'm beginning to verbalize them for more people to hear, and that's a level of vulnerability that I'm learning to walk in.
Well, let me tell you first, thank you for saying the kind things, but also I just want to be able to point out and affirm in you, I definitely see that God is continually working and you're allowing God to work in you. And it's evident just in who you are, but also in your leadership and in how you are with your marriage and your family. It's good. Keep going.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. Let me maybe shift gears just a little bit here.
Okay.
But I think it's still in the same, maybe it's just a different direction within the same kind of conversation. Because one of the things that I remember from the very first time I met you, I don't know how many years ago it was, you are definitely a person and a leader who is marked by joy.
Yeah.
Like I've actually heard other leaders, and I'm a little jealous sometimes because I don't think I've ever heard this in my life. But other leaders actually call you Mr. Joyfulness.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was a fun camp year. I learned a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every year at camp is a learning year for a leader. I don't care who you are. If you're not learning, you might want to go back and actually participate. So being Mr. Joyfulness, right?
Yeah.
Where do you attribute that most to? And where does that even find you right now?
Yeah. Good questions. And I got some stories to tell.
Good.
Yeah. I like stories because I think stories make things practical. The leader that called that out in me, called out Mr. Joyfulness, just that I needed that at that time. And it was, but I think I've been marked by joy. When I received the Holy Spirit, I just remember, being at a camp. I was like 13, and the leader asked if anyone wanted to come forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, I was scared and nervous, but I remember going, I want more of God. I want everything he has for me. I just don't want to go up to the front because that seems intimidating. And maybe that was the change in this, is because I've been up in the front ever since. But so I just sat in the back, and there were some other kids that were next to me that were at my church, and they were kind of goofing off. But I just remember asking the Lord right there, if you have something for me, I want it. And it just was overwhelmed with joy. I started like belly laughing, like that deep, you can't stop something so funny. Then, and I don't know if you've ever laughed like so hard, like, you know, some tears are coming out, but it's like, you can't catch your breath. It's deep. That was happening at that moment. And like, there's something that washes over you, and there's a cleansing in that. I was disrupting because I was laughing in a very solemn moment. I could tell, like, there were people at the front that were just like looking at me, and one of the leaders
broke him.
Yeah. Just laughing. And one of the leaders recognized, I'm so glad for like discernment, the Lord giving someone good discernment, because he just walked over and started talking to me and explained to me like the joy of the Lord was pouring over my life right now. And from that moment, my basketball coach, even after that, would call me Smiley. I couldn't defend anybody on the other team because he's like, all you do is come at him with big teeth and a grin, and like, okay. That was a mark, and I've known it, and I've experienced the joy of the Lord even in hard times. It's all been the Holy Spirit. It's been his joy shining through my life, even so much so, this last Tuesday, I've gone through kind of a hard season. Nothing that's, inherently wrong. The church is growing. Things are going well. We have, our staff is happy. You know, all things seem to be going well on the outside. And yet internally I had been feeling, just this heaviness and this weight of, stress and underlying just not, I don't want to call it anger, but it was coming out as anger. Yeah, it might have been anger. Who knows? Anyway,
ask your staff.
I asked my staff. I've been really good to them. It's just, you know, I would say that mostly my family gets the brunt of where I'm unhealthy. And so I was, we pray together every Tuesday morning, and I just asked my staff, I was like, listen, I've been experiencing this heaviness that's not me, a lack of joy. Things are setting me off way faster than they should. And, you know, would you guys just pray for me? Because I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on a specific thing, except for that I know what it feels like. And it's just this weight in my body of heaviness and like anger and whatever. Wow. And so I asked them to pray for me. And as the day went on, I could just feel like just a lifting. Nothing significant happened, except for it did. It was significant for me. Because inside I could just feel it. And this morning I woke up and there was just a lightness about the things. Nothing was inherently bothering me, but there was like nothing. There's just a lightness. I could feel the physical feeling of whatever was like weighing on me was gone. And so it feels great to be normal again. And this is what's normal for me. And so there, you know, through prayer and nothing, like I said, nothing significant. It just happened. So,
well, but it, to be honest, it actually sounds really significant. I think not only as you even experience it physically and it sounds like even in your spirit.
Yeah.
But how much more so? And going back to what you said, just dropping the fine, I'm fine with those that you're serving with, that you're leading alongside of, to be vulnerable enough to say, I need help.
Yeah.
And what you have, you know, what you're able to model to them, you know, that I need your help to help, you know, draw out and bring back the joy of the Lord in what I'm doing. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That's incredible.
That's deliverance right there.
Yeah, yes.
That's deliverance.
And it didn't get weird or crazy.
No, it was not weird at all. It was just a moment of vulnerability with my team and me recognizing the Holy Spirit telling me maybe or me recognize however it works, you know, in communion with God. That I was not okay, or that something was going on, and he says, "Go to each other and pray with one another." And so, it was very, and it was not some weird prayer either. That's what's awesome. It's like, Lord, only you can do something, so do it. And that's about as deep as it got.
Gosh, you know, I wonder how much. I'll speak for myself. If anybody else catches this, that's fine. But like, how much we overthink things when it's just that a broken spirit, contrite heart, Lord, help us. Mm-hmm. We don't have it, right? Yeah. We never did. And so, man, that's so good. And you want to talk about practical. If we could just get over our own selves and the, you know, kind of having it all together, I'll bet more leaders in ministry would experience joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
So good. So we can get you out of here on this one.
Okay.
So if we're talking about kind of dropping the act, kind of being vulnerable, but also pursuing joy and doing that together, what would you say, you know, as far as leaders who are looking, going, I need this, or I need more of this, what would you encourage them to do? What's their first, or maybe even their next step?
Yeah. I don't want to say pray harder. Mm-hmm. That's like the answer you need to read your Bible more or pray more. I think the next step is just ask the Lord, what do you want? What are you doing, and how can I be a part of this? And in doing that, don't do more than he's asking you to do.
And, that's good.
You know,
that's so good.
Just be along for the ride and enjoy it. Like, enjoy the ride. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. And so, if you enjoy, like, there's hard things, but he carries us. And so, you know, that's not the fix for everything, but I think asking the Lord, what do you want to do? And then just yielding to that and go with it. Go with the flow.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm. Okay. Very good. So if you're listening, just ask. Just very simply ask the Lord and then listen and have the courage to respond, it sounds like, because it may not be the rhythm that you have been keeping, even. Mm-hmm. It may be something you need to just stop, you know, or maybe you need to catch up, right? But
yeah.
Man, that's so good. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well, Brenton, you're officially off the hot seat, but you're not going anywhere. You're sticking around for the rest of this journey. So I want to thank you just for really being vulnerable with us today and those that are listening. It's some good stuff. And I just believe that some of the words you said are really going to encourage and maybe inspire some people to take a different step today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. And hopefully... this helps people not hate what God called them to do, but enjoy it and experience a level of joy in doing it.
I agree. I'm looking forward to hearing more stories and just more wisdom, hard-earned wisdom that others have picked up that they want to pass along to other leaders as well.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed our very first episode of the Ministry Without Hating It podcast. We look forward to more conversations with ministry leaders in pursuit of loving what you do through the wisdom of others. I want to again thank today's guest, Pastor Brenton Hill, for sharing his journey with us and really maintaining joy all throughout ministry and how we can continue to move that forward. If you'd like to connect further with Brenton, you can visit their church's website at illuminatemuncie.com, or you can shoot him an email at brenton@illuminatemuncie.com. And lastly, you can find more episodes and resources at withouthatingit.com. And don't forget to subscribe to Ministry Without Hating It wherever it is that you get your podcast so you don't miss out on our bi-weekly episode releases. We're looking forward to many more conversations, and we'll see you next time.